Luke chapter 4. Listen carefully to the word of God. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. May God add his blessing to this, the reading and hearing of his own holy and inerrant word. Amen. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. A certain pastor returned to his home one night from his church and announced to his wife that he was leaving the church and he was quitting the ministry. With tears, they prayed together. The pastor was very much overburdened with counseling, with visitation, with sermons, with crises, with funerals, with weddings, with everything else going on. He was what we call burned out. But before he left, he talked to a friend of his, another pastor. And his friend shared with him a principle that changed this pastor's mind as well as his life. And the principle is simple. And it is this. Don't try to live your life in the strength of the flesh, but in the power of the Spirit. Now, I have to confess that a lot of that which I do and am engaged in frequently is in the strength, even in the Lord's work, is in the strength of the flesh and not in the power of the Spirit. Even often when we pray, "Oh Lord, bless this work," don't we really mean, "Lord, it's not your work that I'm concerned that you bless, but my work that you bless"? I dare say most of us feel that there are some things that we can do and we don't need to ask anybody. We don't even need to pray about it. We know that we can do certain things. We feel qualified. We feel skilled to do things. And we may laugh at the silly woman who prays each morning what God would have her put on, how she should dress. And yet, that silly woman has something, it seems to me, that the Church of Jesus Christ in our day has all but forgotten. And that is a life that is lived in obedience to the Spirit of God. We may wonder why God doesn't bless certain attempts that we make in the name of God. You ever wondered that when you tried to teach Sunday school? Or you tried to witness? Or you wanted to give such and such faith promise? I think the answer is right here in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Whether we are in a meeting, whether we are teaching Sunday school, whether we're trying to raise a budget, it is the power of the Spirit that matters. That's the bottom line. I was in a meeting in another town, a supposedly Christian organization, several years ago. This organization has been in existence for over 30 years. And in this board meeting, which I happened to be on at the time, they were talking, and I was listening, about the fact that they never had enough money, and for 30 years they were always faced with financial problems. And there was one woman who was not particularly educated. One woman on the board, I don't know how she got there. This woman began to talk about the fact that what we need to do is to pray for God's guidance and leadership and trusting the Lord and turning to Him. I watched the board members as this woman talked. Their eyes were rolling. As their eyes met each other, they were thinking to themselves, when will she shut up so we can get down to planning? And one even said, well, Mary, don't you think we have to do our part? You ever said that? You ever heard that said? And so this board continued to do their part. And they're still in financial problems. But Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. What are the symptoms of our doing our part? I mean, what is the indication that what we are attempting to do is in the power of our own flesh, our self-will, our willfulness, and not in the power of the Spirit? I could think of a lot of things. In fact, I did. But I'm going to share just two with you. And the first one is this. It's not very profound. And you'll recognize it immediately, because if I were a betting man, which I am not, if I were, then I would lay you odds that there is hardly a believer present and within the sound of my voice right now who cannot say, this is me, all right. You want me to tell you what it is? It's very simple. A symptom of a life that has that is being lived in the power of the flesh and not in the power of the Spirit of God, this is it. An overcrowded schedule. Is that simple enough? There's several reasons for that I could give, but I'm only going to give one because I want to say it in another way, and it's this, and it's worth your taking note of and writing it down and memorizing it and being aware of it. This is symptomatic of an overcrowded schedule or the attitude behind it, and is this. Whatever life a man or a woman or a young person, whatever life a man yields himself to, that life will soon dominate his entire life. Whatever life a man yields himself to, that life will fill him. Several years ago, I was involved in starting the Citizens Against Pornography of Gadsden and Etowah County. And as we studied pornography, we discovered that no man, hardly ever, any person, no one starts out to be a pornographer. Nobody says, when I grow up, I'm going to be a child molester or a pornographer. It doesn't start out to be that. But a little picture here, a little movie here, maybe this magazine there. Just about every single child molester reads pornography. He didn't set out that way. But whatever you yield your life to, soon your life will be filled with it. Now, there may be some good things that you fill your life with. You work hard, that's good. But let me tell you, working and making money is not necessarily God's work. Have you ever heard the phrase that the good is the worst enemy of the best? The good is the worst enemy of the best. You and I may accept things that are seemingly good and worthwhile, but friends, we may just be shooting ourselves in the foot spiritually because we're not taking what God really wants to give to you and to me. There's another indication of a person who's living life in the flesh and not in the spirit. The first is an overcrowded schedule. Well, I can plead guilty. How about you? I don't want you looking at me. And if you can listen to this message and if you can say this does apply to so-and-so, I can see that it applies to him. Or I know that it probably applies to her, but if you can listen and not see yourself, then you have missed the whole point. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Here's the second thing. And it is this. When we try to do the Lord's work for the wrong reason or in the wrong way. You can do God's work. I know. God bless you. God love you. I know some of you, and if it weren't for you, things would just fall apart to some extent. At least that's what we think. But there is a right way to do God's work, and there is a wrong way. I was in a meeting last Friday night, Child Advocacy Center, which has just started. The speaker from Birmingham told, and the audience was packed with judges and politicians. And the speaker said, listen, if you're in this because you want to get some publicity out of it, then get out. Why are we in this? Are we in this to get strokes? Are we in this to get recognition? Are we in this to get something out of it? Are we in this because Jesus Christ is Lord and we are going to serve Him and we're going to preach His Word and we're going to minister in His name and for His glory and for His glory alone and hang all the rest? You remember Uzzah who touched the ark? He wanted to do well, but the ark was falling and he was going to try to stop it and he reached up to catch the ark and he touched it and he was struck dead on the spot. Because God is not someone to mess with. And when we attempt to serve God in the flesh, it's going to blow up in your face and in my face. But if we do it in God's way, then God is going to be honored and glorified. You like yard work? My children don't. I do. I love to get out, work in the yard, plant stuff, and water it. Hope that it grows. But you know, there's one thing I know that I can't do. Yes, I can turn the faucet on and I can pour water on it. But there's one thing that I'm completely dependent on, and that is rain. I've noticed the difference in plants between just holding the hose on it and a good shower. I'm not a chemist. I'm not a naturalist. I can't tell you why the rain works such a miracle and the watering it doesn't. But it does. You see, there's no substitute for the Spirit of God. No amount of religion, no amount of man-made religion, no amount of self-help, no amount of self-improvement, no amount of effort, no amount of church, no amount of Bible reading. There is no substitute for an absolute and unqualified surrender to the Spirit of God in a person's life. Well, that's all we have time for this morning. And I want to leave you with that challenge. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Dear friends, when you come to a session meeting, when you come to a deacon's meeting, when you come to church, when you come to the women of the church, when you go out visiting, when you go to Sunday school, when you go home, when you go to work, is it the same old stuff, the same old attitude, and the same old perspective, or is it with the power of the Spirit? Think about it. Get your hands off other people's lives and get your hands off your life and yield yourself to the Spirit of God and you will return in the power of the Spirit. I want to spend a moment in prayer with you right now. Will you pray God, I know I need the power of the Spirit. And open your heart and your life in a new dedication, in a new commitment to God's Spirit. Will you pray with me? Let's pray.